Today's share and every share throughout Chodesh Cheshvan has been sponsored by Morty and Lorraine Solomon, Zeichu Nishmas, Mrs. Solomon's father, Mr. Harold Levine, Allah Shalom, Rabbi Cheskel, Ben Avliyakim, Chanoch Alevi, Allah Shalom, and Mr. Solomon's father, Dr. Harry Solomon, Allah Shalom, Rabbi Tzvi, Ben Rav Lozov, Allah Shalom. Okay, yesterday we started with the Machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos over here in Daf Chav Zayin and Beis. Basically, to just summarize what we did yesterday, we had a fundamental Machlokas in the Gemara, whether a person can be Yotzei with a, we will deem a sukkah sheula. Sukkaso shel chavero is the way the Gemara refers to it, but the Rishonim keep referring to it as sukkah sheula. It means the same thing. Someone else's sukkah that you are using, a borrowed sukkah. Where Rabbi Elazar says that a person cannot be yotzei b'sukkaso shel chavero with the sukkah sheula, the Chacham said absolutely yes, you can be yotzei with the sukkah sheula. The Gemara says, where did the Chacham get the idea that one can be yotzei with the sukkah sheula? Because it says in Pasuk, kol ha'ezach b'Yisrael yeshu b'sukkos, that all of the Jewish people could sit in a sukkah. And the implication is they could all share the same sukkah. How else would they all be sitting in the same sukkah if not that they keep on borrowing it from each other? That's the only way they could all sit in the same sukkah, is if they're borrowing it from each other. Asks Rashi, what do you mean? There's another possibility how they could be sitting in the same sukkah, even if they're not borrowing it from each other. Maybe they all chipped in, everyone chipped in a half a penny, and everyone owns the sukkah together. So it's a sukkah hashutfin, not a sukkah sheula. And maybe that's what the pasuk means. Meaning, maybe in a chenami a sukkah sheula is pasul. The pasuk is only telling me that a sukkah hashutfin is kosher. Right? That was Rashi's unstated kasha. So Rashi answers, no, sukkah hashutfin, it would not work if all of Klal Yisrael chipped in. It wouldn't even be a sukkah hashutfin. Nobody would have ownership of it if everyone chipped in, because everybody would own pachos mishava pruta. And pachos mishava pruta is not called ownership. This is the pashut reading of Rashi. Pachos mishava pruta is not called ownership. So since nobody would own it, if it was pachos mishava pruta, it wouldn't be a sukkah hashutfin. And all you would, therefore, the only possibility left of what the pasuk is talking about, it, when all of Klal Yisrael sits in the same sukkah, is a sukkah sheula, and that's why the pasuk is telling me that a sukkah sheula is kosher. Now, according to Rashi, is a sukkah hashutfin in fact kosher or pasul? So Rashi says, what's the whole problem with saying that when all of Klal Yisrael sits in the same sukkah, that we're speaking of a sukkah hashutfin? Rashi says the problem is not that sukkah hashutfin by definition is pasul. That's not true. The problem is, it isn't even a sukkah hashutfin when all of Klal Yisrael chips in, because nobody owns enough of it to make it a sukkah hashutfin. But lu yitzuyor, if you did have a sukkah hashutfin, if you could imagine having a case where there were a sukkah hashutfin, how do you have such a case? Five guys live on the same block. They decide it's not all worth it. It's not worth it for each of them to buy their own sukkah. They all chip in money together and they buy a sukkah. So if you did have a case of sukkah hashutfin, Rashi would say, l'chora, it's totally fine, no problem. Sukkah hashutfin be'etzem is kasher. It's no problem with sukkah hashutfin. You just can't say that's what the pasuk of Kala Ezach B'Yisrael is talking about, because by definition, if all of Kala Yisrael were chipping in, it wouldn't be a sukkah hashutfin. So it must be talking about a sukkah sheula. That's the source of the Chacham Shita, that a sukkah sheula is kasher. Good, that is the... That is how, what Rashi actually says. Now, I mentioned yesterday when I was reading the Gemara that Rabbi Elazar says a person cannot be yotzei b'sukkaso shel chavero, and I think when I was just saying it, I think I said that it's talking about the first. I don't know if I said this or not, but the way he said it is kishem, just like you're not yotzei b'yom tov harishon shel chag b'lulavo shel chavero, so too you're not yotzei b'sukkaso shel chavero. Now, what does that mean? So too you're not yotzei on the first day, b'sukkaso shel chavero, or so too you're not yotzei any day, b'sukkaso shel chavero. So if you look at the psukim that he's darshaning from, so by lulav, how do we know that on the first day you can't have lulav shel chavero? How do we know that that's true by lulav? Because what does the pasuk say? No, what are the words in the pasuk? How do I know you can't use someone else's lulav on the first day? L'kachtam lachem, next two words, the Yom Rishon. By sukkah, how does Rabbi Elazar know you can't be yotzei b'sukkaso shel chavero? Again, our whole Rashi tells us within the Chachamim. But Rabbi Elazar holds that you cannot be yotzei b'sukkaso shel chavero. Where does he get it from? Because the pasuk says, chag ha-sukkos tase lecha, next two words, shevas yamin. So Pashtus is when he says, I don't know what I said yesterday, I may have said otherwise yesterday, but Pashtus is when he said, when Rabbi Elazar says you can't be Yotze B'sukasa Shel Chavero, it means all 7 days. And I think the Rosh Hashanah makes this point explicitly. He says, Pashut to Rabbi Elazar P'sula Sukkas Chavero Kol Zayin. It's clear he means all 7 days, not just Yom Tov HaRishon. And he says that it says in the Rif otherwise, but tell Sofer who, right? Okay. So, but that's Pasha. That's just Pasha reading the Gemara. So anyway, so Rashi says that... Is there a question? No? So Rashi says that Sukkot... Yeah?
Even if you were to say that the Drasha was only for day one, still, if the other 6 days you have somebody else's Sukkot, since he holds a meeting, since the same...
Right, Rabbi Lesser, anyway would have a problem. I think that's what I mentioned yesterday, right? That anyway would be problematic, because you can't go to someone else's Sukkot anyhow. Right, the only thing would be if someone passing like Rabbi Lesser... in one case and not in the other, which of course we pass on like Rabbi Elazar in none of these cases, in none of these halachas. We reject all, even Rabbi Elazar doesn't pass on like Rabbi Elazar about the Yudal Tzudos, right? The Gemara says a chazibor Rabbi Elazar, that he changed his mind from that, but even in the other cases we don't pass on like Rabbi Elazar. As we know the rule in all of Shas, Rabbi Elazar, Shamutehu, he was Shamute. Which we've mentioned many times, is a major machlokas in the Rishon, and what Shamute means, either that he was from the Talmidim of the Beis Shammai, and therefore we don't pass him like him, or that it's a reference to the Gemara, the famous Gemara in Bava Metzion Nun Tes, with the Tanur Shalach Na'i, where Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua have machlokas, and they say, okay, the water should show that I'm right, and the water starts going upstream, and the trees, and this, and that, and at the end of that Gemara, Rabbi Elazar is put in Cherem. So Shamute is Melashon Shamta, that he's in some sort of cherem, and because he's in some sort of cherem, we don't pass him like him. But whatever it is, we don't pass him like Rabbi Eliezer ever, and this is no exception. We don't pass him like Rabbi Eliezer here either. There might be some exceptions, but this is certainly not one of them. One of the exceptions might be Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph, whether Sukkos are the Sukkos that we sit in are Zecher to the Anani HaKavod or Zecher to the Sukkos Mamish, that might be an exception. But these cases are not an exception. We certainly don't pass on like Rabbi Elazar. But anyway, we're focused on the Shita of the Rabbanan, because Rashi was explaining the Shita of the Rabbanan. The Kol Ezach Yisrael Yeshu B'Sukkos means Sukkah She'ula is Kasher, and Rashi again said it can't mean Sukkah HaShutvin is Kasher, because that wouldn't even qualify as a Sukkah HaShutvin. Now we pointed out that there are four or five basic kashas on Rashi. One kasha we saw from the Sfasemes, if you hold Yesh Breira, why don't we say that each person has Kulo Shalo at the moment that he's sitting in it? So we pointed out two or three answers to that question. Then we saw the Minchas Chinuch and the Shari Tshuva discuss the issue that if Rashi is correct, that by definition, any ownership of Pachs Mishav Pruta is not called ownership, then your matzah should have to be a Shav Pruta, your aravos should by definition be pasul, because aravos are not worth a Shav Pruta. If this yisod were true, that Pachs Mishav Pruta is not called ownership. And we had rayas, that Pachs Mishav Pruta definitely is called ownership. And the greatest raya is the fact that Rambam paskins in a couple of places, really, that it's usher to steal Pachs Mishav Pruta. Why is it also to steal Pachs Mishav Pruta if it's not called ownership? Now, Jake Sherman pointed out to me that there's a beautiful piece in Minchas Asher on this concept, on this topic of stealing Pachs Mishav Pruta. Yeah, question?
Just on the Aravos, how could you say that Aravos is less than Shav Pruta? Something's only worth what you pay for it. The reason that Aravos is worth less than Shav Pruta is because there's a million in it everywhere. Okay, if there's a million of anything everywhere, it would also be worth it.
Right.
So it's
but that's
dollars,
market value. But you don't count how much you pay for because of the mitzvah. Meaning, you're paying for it because of the mitzvah. The fact that the mitzvah gives it value, meaning we're trying to figure out, is it kosher for the mitzvah? So you have to start with, assuming it weren't to be used for the mitzvah, what would its value be? Meaning, it's like saying that, opening up a fridge on Shabbos when the light is on is a psik reish d'lo nichle because you don't want to be mechal Shabbos. You don't want the light to turn on because you don't want to be mechal Shabbos. No. You can't view nichle and lo nichle as, you know, what you want the halacha to be. It's what you would want absent any halacha. So if you're also, when you're determining value, you say, what would be the value if there were no such thing as halacha, if there were no such mitzvah? Does it have any inherent value? And the answer is no, that would be, it is Pachs Mishav Pruta. The inherent value is very, very, very minimal. It has nothing. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't smell good. It doesn't taste good. It doesn't, right? Arava is nothing. Now, the Rav Asher Weiss has an interesting chakira that he points to in regards to stealing pachas mishava pruta. He points to the Machne Ephraim in Hilchos Gezela, Simon Aleph, who has the following chakira. When you steal something, it's pachas mishava pruta, is the reason that you're not chayiv in tashlumin, and that's true, even though it's also to steal pachas mishava pruta, Rambam writes, you don't have to pay back. The heshavas ha-gzela doesn't apply to pachas mishava pruta. You don't have to pay it back if you steal pachas mishava pruta. So is the reason that you're not chayiv in tashlumin because there's an assumed mechila, that the stum of the guy is mochel for pachas mishava pruta? Or is the reason that you don't have to pay back when it's pachas mishava pruta is that the shear of the isur geneva is shava pruta? Pachas mishava pruta is pachas mikshir, and there's no onesh on pachas mikshir. On anything less than a shear, there's no onesh. If you eat less than a gazayas of nevela, you don't get punished for it. You don't get malchus. You don't get punished. It's asur chatzi shear asur min ha-Torah, but you're not going to get punished for it. So which is it? Is it that there's an assumed mechila? Or is it that it's just pachas mikshir like any other shir in the Torah? And he says there are many nafkaminas. Let's say you steal from a chereshot of a katan. Chereshot of a katan is incapable of being mochel you. So there can't be any assumed mechila. So then if you steal pachas mikshir pruta from a chereshot of a katan, you should have to return the money to or whatever it is you stole to the chereshot of a katan, and not b'nei mechila. Or what if the guy that you steal from says, I'm not mochel you? So if he tells you he's not mochel, you can't have an assumed mechila. So if it's a din in shir, so it's still chatzi shir, you're not, no onesh, you don't have to pay it back. But if it's a din in mechila, well, you know that this guy is not mochel you. So those are the basic nafkaminas. The basic nafkaminas between on this chakira, why it is that you don't have to pay back when you steal pachas mishava pruta. Now, the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Lamed suggests that this is in fact a machlokas between the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch. Because the Rambam writes, Hagozel pachas mishava pruta, afal pi sha'avar, eno b'toras hashev gezela. And he never discusses the issue of mechila at all. He just says, if you steal pachas mishava pruta, you don't have to return it. It's not bitoras returning a gzela. It's not in the parsha. Meaning, this isn't what the Torah was talking about when the Torah said you have to return a stolen object. Meaning, it's not the shear. It's not the shear of a stolen object. It's just not in the parsha. But not a word about mechila. So the Rambam seems to imply it's not about mechila at all. It's din shear. The Sefer HaChinuch writes, and Rav Asher Weiss quotes it word for word, Kama tia gzela sheyischayev hagozala shiva. How much do you have to steal in order to be chayiv to return it? Kol gezela shava pruta. Any stealing that's a shava pruta. Aval pachos mikan, afal bi sha'avar alis ha-Torah, eino b'toras hishavon. Anything less than that, even though you violated a Torah law, you're not chayiv to return it. And here's the key. Lefi sheyisrael b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov nedivim b'nei nedivim heim. Because klal Yisrael b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, and we are generous people. And everyone knows that any Jew, even if he's the poorest of the poor, when you take pachas mishava pruta, he's automatically mochel, says Sefer HaChinuch. Then chefzachrav klal, he's not going to be interested in trying to retrieve it. So Sefer HaChinuch is explicit that it's a din mechila. Rambam, not a word about mechila, it's a din shir. Sefer HaChinuch, that it's a din mechila. Problem with suggesting that is that the Sefer HaChinuch also writes in Mitzvah Reish Chav Tes, Avalav de lo sigzal eno chal elo b'shava pruta, ki atoro lo techayiv elo b'davar shu mamon, upachos mishava pruta eno nikra mamon. He says elsewhere that the reason you're not chayiv on pachos mishava pruta is because pachos mishava pruta is not mamon. You're only chayiv when you steal mamon. This, by definition, doesn't fit mamon. But it's still Asr, says the Sefer HaChinuch, because of Chatzi Shir Asr Min HaTorah. To then make the argument that the Sefer HaChinuch holds that it's all a din in Mechila, it's not a din in Shir, that this is the Shir of how much you're chayiv to return, and less than that is a Chatzi Shir, is very hard. The Sefer HaChinuch says explicitly that it's a din in Shir. So Rav Asher Weiss wants to suggest a compromise shita. He suggests a third shita. Yisoda davar eino kishnei hadrachim anal. He says the real answer is somewhere in the middle. It's not that it's a shavu pruta is the shear, nor is it that it's a din mechila. The reason why you're pater from returning pots mishum is not because someone is actually mochel you. Nobody is actually mochel you. But it's also not a din in shir like all other halachal Moshe Mitzrayim, like all other shirim in the Torah, like kezayis and kebetza and kesa'ora, etzem kesa'ora and all that. It's just that since darkam shel bnei Yisrael limchal al pachas mishav pruta, since most of the time Jewish people are mochel on pachas mishav pruta, l'chein ein b'shir zed din gneivu gzeil l'gabi mitzvah sa'ashava. Therefore, we view it as something that's not significant enough to be chayav for the mitzvah sashava. Meaning, there was no halach l'moshe Mitzrayim that said a pruta is the amount that you need to steal to be chayav in hashava. The halach l'moshe Mitzrayim is when you steal a decent amount, an amount that people care about, then you're chayav in hashava. Not that the person you stole from cares about, that's irrelevant what he cares about. An amount that people in general care about. It happens to be people care about a shavapruta. People do not care about less than a shavapruta. The Torah didn't determine that that's the number. Now, when it comes to Kiddushay Kesef and other dinim of a shavapruta, the Torah did determine that's the number. Kesef, kicha, kicha, mistay afron, that we learned Kiddushay Kesef has to be something that's worth a shavapruta, like we discussed. That you know, the Masada Kiddushin is going to say to you under the chuppah, is this ring worth a shavapruta? You know, he's not going to say to you, he's going to say to the Edim, does it look like it's a shavapruta? Right? So that is a din that's really Allah l'moshe Mitzrayim. That is a real shir min haTorah. But he says, when it comes to the mitzvah of the Heshvaz Akzela returning something, that's not a shir min haTorah of shavapruta. The shir min haTorah is whatever people care about. What do people happen to care about? A shavapruta. So Rav Ashwai says, but wait a second. If that's the case, nowadays, I would bet most people don't even care about two prutas. In America, in the 21st century, we're so rich. You know, we throw away things that are that they never would have thrown away. You know, you drive down the streets of the five towns, you could find $500 strollers that are being thrown out. You know, nowadays, it's the one thing. I was at a chabura on Friday night. Someone was reading the Rambam about the golden mean. You ever read that Rambam about how you shouldn't be extreme in one way or the other? Extremism is bad. We should always choose the middle road. So the Rambam gives examples. And he says, you shouldn't be someone who's angry all the time, who gets angry at the drop of a hat, but you also shouldn't be someone who's like kimes, who's like dead, who doesn't respond to anything. Some things should get you worked up, some things should get you angry, and should get you excited, because otherwise you got to stop people from doing bad things. You need to get worked up about something. So the Rambam gives a number of examples, and one of the examples he gives is, a person shouldn't be someone who doesn't eat anything, and fasts all day, and doesn't enjoy this world at all. Nor should you be someone who's totally gluttonous and takes in everything and enjoys everything that, you know, all the hanos al mazeh that the world can give you. Rather, what should you do? So says the Rambam, work enough to feed yourself for that day, then stop working, and you can have enough food for that day, learn the rest of the day, then next day go to work and work enough to feed yourself. Live hand to mouth. That's the middle. That's the middle road. Live hand to mouth. So the guy saying the Chabura said, what you see is that the Rambam's golden mean is not really a middle ground at all. It's really quite extreme. So I said, that's totally wrong. It's not extreme at all. Prior to 20th century America, that was the way people lived. There were a few, it's like, go to Saudi Arabia. How do people live in Saudi Arabia? So the royal family has billions of dollars, and everyone else lives like that. Everyone else lives hand to mouth. That's normal. That was always normal. That actually was the golden mean. That actually was, you know, so that's a normal thing. So, but in our culture, things have changed, just the way we define things. I once heard Rabbi Meir Twersky say, he was speaking in Lawrence once, and he about materialism. So right away, he was behind the eight ball, and he said, he read that Rambam, and he said, we all so enthusiastically embraced the Rambam's doctrine of what is it? I forgot his words. But let's say of mediocrity, of choosing the golden mean. But what about the Rambam's definition of the middle ground? Right? Rambam's definition of what it means not to be too gashmi and too whatever. We all say, yeah, everyone should be normal. He shouldn't be crazy. He said, the Rambam's golden mean. What about how the Rambam defines it? You got to read the Rambam to the end. But anyway, so in our cultures, pachs mishav pruta shouldn't be a din anymore by gezela. It should be, people aren't going to be makbar in two prutas either. So maybe that should change the whole din. So Rav Ashwai says, now this has to be one of those dinim that a chasimas hashas, they set a shear, and that shear sticks. Whatever shear they set, when the shas was finished, for whatever, even though misvara, that shear doesn't work anymore, that shear sticks. Where do you ever have such dinim like that? So he says, sure you have it. Dine treifas. What's the definition of a treifa? An animal that's not going to live for 12 months is a treifa. And Chazal said certain diseases that they referred to as a treifa. What if animals with those diseases nowadays can be easily cured or easily live past 12 months? Yeah, it's still a treifa. Chazal determined that's the definition of a treifa. That's a treifa. Meaning that once the halacha was kavua with chasimas hashas, so that's the way the halacha is going to remain. Zman kriyashma. When's zman kriyashma? Ad gimel shalos payom. Why? Because the derech b'nei melachim get up at that time. That's their uv kumecha. Nowadays, is that when the b'nei melachim get up? I don't know. Maybe it's later, maybe it's earlier, whatever. Shouldn't we have to check when the latest risers are getting up? No, bechasimas hashas. That was the set shear, and that's the shear that we stuck with. Anyway, that's Rav Asher Weiss's take. Shkoyach to Jake for showing me that. That was a nice piece from Rav Asher Weiss. But anyway, back to our Rashi, back to our originally scheduled program. So Rashi says this vart, that anything that's less than a Shavu Pruta is not ownership. So we point out, the Menachas Chinuch says, what are you talking about? Of course it's ownership. It's not a sheer mamo, but it is ownership. Couple of more questions on Rashi before we go to Tosfos' problem with Rashi. Point out there are going to be several questions on Rashi. The Aruch Lener is bothered by the following. Rashi had this pasuk of the Chacham. Kol Ezrach Yisrael Yeshu B'Sukkos. That pasuk must be telling me Sheula is kasher. Why? So Rashi said it can't be telling me that they're shutvin because then everyone would have less than a Shavu Pruta. Frek the Aruch Lener. Maybe it's mitin hefker. How do you know that it's about she'ula? Maybe the fact that I'm sitting in there right now shows that everyone else is mafkir their ownership of it to me, and I'm zochem in a hefker. So it's totally my sukkah when I'm in it. Aruch Lener, source number 5. Dilma kivin de'in l'kol echad shav pruta ba, ein l'paylem klal di'yisrael le'in l'makbar al-pachs mishav pruta. Very hefker! And that's why Yotze, not because of Shu'ula. You're not borrowing it from anybody. They're not maintaining ownership either. If I don't own it, they don't own it. So I'm not borrowing it from anybody because nobody owns it. And since no one cares about Pachs Mishav Pruta, and that's what they all own in it, everyone's Mafkir. So I'm just Zocha in the entire Sukkah from Afkir. So he says, why can't that be a possibility? He says, I can only think of one thing. That you can't be Yotze with the Sukkah of Hefker. It must be that a sukkah of hefker is possible. And that's why we don't look at it as a sukkah of hefker. Why would we say that a sukkah of hefker is possible? Because lecha maybe tells me it can't belong to hefker. Just like by meiser, zaracha prat la hefker. So he says, so wait a second. We have a pasuk that tells me it's got to be yours, right? We have two pasukim up here by sukkah. One tells me lecha, it's got to be yours. Another pasuk tells me kol Ezrach b'Yisrael. Everyone's allowed to sit in the same sukkah. So one pasuk is a riboy coming to tell me that a certain situation that maybe isn't so much yours is okay, and the other pasuk is a miut. It's coming to tell me that anything that's not totally yours is not okay. And we have all these dinim: she'ula, hefker, shutfas. We have all these dinim. Which dinim are we going to attach to the pasuk of kol Ezrach and say that it's okay? And which dinim are we going to attach to the pasuk of lecha? So logically, what would you do? If you have two pasukim, one is telling me a riboy, one is telling me a miut, and I have a lot of dinim, I got to figure out which din fits into which pasuk. So you would likely take, if there's one pasuk that tells you something's okay, you would take the situation that is most likely to be considered yours amongst she'ula, hefker, shutfas. Take the situation that's most likely to be considered yours and say that's the exception. That's kala ezrach. That's where you would lumdicize it. You would, given the options, you would take the one that is most likely to be yours and say that's what kala ezrach must be going on. Everything else will be going on, will fit into the pasuk lecha and will be possible. Right? That's the logical thing to do. Now what are we saying? Hefker is possible. So hefker we learn from lecha. And what's kasher? Shu'ula is kasher. Ask Zero Chanar, which one is more yours? Something that you borrow, or something that you zocha from hefker? That you go and you take from hefker. You sit, not take really, you sit in the sukkah shel hefker. Because the truth is, you're not being zocha, you're not kone it for yourself. It's just, it remains hefker, you're just using it. So which is more yours, shu'ula or hefker? So it says, we have to say is that hefker is less yours than shu'ula. Why? Because by shu'ula, at least somebody owns it. And whoever owns it has given you the right to use it. By hefker, nobody owns it. So nobody has given you the right to use it, you just have the right to use it because no one owns it. This is very similar to the concept of das acheres makna. That when you have someone, a das acheres, who's saying, look, I'm giving it to you, all my powers are now transferred to you, that makes you much more powerful than when you just try to take it on your own. Like we discussed yesterday, that's why a gadol can give a katan a lulav and esrog, and the katan will actually be kone it. There's a das acheres that's makne to the katan. Katan picks up a piece of hefker, he's not kone midaraisa. He needs someone to give him that koach. So over here as well, when you yotze in a sukkah shel hefker, there's no das acheres. There's no one giving it to you. There's no one that really owns it. There's no one that's in control of it. That's less likely to be called yours, lecha, than a sukkah that you borrow from somebody else. Now somebody else owns it, but they're giving you that power to be yotzei, that's more of a lecha. So says Rav Chanan, a ger dies, and he leaves the sukkah, dies in the middle of the sukkah, let's say, so he leaves the sukkah, and you want to use the sukkah, you don't want to be koneh it, because you don't want to have to take it down, it's always a hassle. So, you just want to use it. He has no yarshim. Can you use the sukkah? So says Yerach Lener, based on my kasha, on Rashi, I'm convinced Rashi will tell you, no, you cannot use it. Lecha, it needs to be yours. This is hefker. You cannot use it. Someone is mafgir a sukkah or is lulav. And you want to go and use it? Are you yotzei? No. Well, they were mafgir, they're lulavim, right? The Mishnayos say at the end of the Masechta that on Shabbos, when they would take, back in the day, in the Mikdash, when they would take lulav on Shabbos, so how is everyone going to, they would bring it to the Beis Mikdash before Shabbos, how is everyone going to find their lulav? They didn't find their lulav. They would just be mafkir and say, whoever takes it, they can take it, that's it. So over there, you have to say that when they're taking it, they're having das to be konet it, not just to use it, to borrow it. That when I take it, I'm being konet and it will actually become mine. Baruch Lener then asks, if you say that mitzvah baba avera is a din d'oraisa, well, let's leave out the second part of the Baruch Lener. Okay, so that was question number three on the Rashi, and the Baruch Lener comes out with a startling chiddush based on that, about sukkah shel hefker is possible. And he points out that it is actually machlokas rishonim, it's machlokas between, who does he have, the Ravid and the Ritva. If hefker is called lachem or not called lachem, he has a ravid and a ritva later on. Lamed hayim veis. God willing, we'll get there soon enough. Okay. Last kasha on Rashi before we get to Tosos. Something that's less than a shavah pruta. Do you own it or do you not own it? Says the Rashash. Says the Rashash that there's an explicit Mishnah Maseches Shkalim, an explicit Mishnah Maseches Shkalim that tells us that Rashi is wrong. That something that's published Mishav Pruta does have ownership. Where's there a Mishnah? So says Rashash, Perek Talad Ashkalim, Halacha Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. El Dekashlim Perek Aleph Ashkalim, Mishnah Dalid. Sorry, I got it wrong. Reverse it. Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalid. Ela shakanim v'chulei, halva omr v'chulei, shalanim v'chulei. Huh? He doesn't give you any of the words, right? So what's he talking about? So Rashash points out, it's talking about korbanos tzibur, and the Mishnah says everybody owns the korbanos tzibur. Now, korban of the tzibur is brought on behalf of who? It's brought on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. So it's paksim shavaputa. There should be no bailam. But he says no. All of Klal Yisrael is the bailam. Shouldn't it be nobody's the bailam? If Rashi is correct, paksim shavaputa. Nobody's the bailam. According to Rashi, it can't be a bailam on something that's paksim shavaputa. So Rashi says it's enough in the Mishnah and Shkalim that Rashi's wrong. That you could have something that's paksim shavaputa. And still, everyone is the Bailam of it. But Rashash says, there's a counterproof from the Dorim Daf Mem Zayin. Because in Gemara and Dorim Daf Mem Zayin, it talks about if you have two partners that were Nadru Zemi Zed, they took a Nedah that they're not allowed to get Hana from each other. So that used to be when people were Olu L'Regel, they dug certain boros along the way so you can get water along the way. It's a long journey, right? So you would stop off at rest stops. Who owned the rest stops? Gans Klal Yisrael owned the rest stops. Everybody owned those wells. It was something that belonged to all of Klal Yisrael. So if I took a net there that I'm not allowed to get Hana'a from you, from anything that you own, am I allowed to use the rest up? Am I allowed to use the well on the way to be able to regal? Do you own it? So if you own it, with whatever you own, you know, whatever your share in it is, then I should not be allowed to use it. If you're not called an owner of it, then I should be allowed to use it, right? So says the Gemara Nedarim, I'm allowed to use it. It's not a violation of the Nedar. What does that tell you? That that you obviously don't own it. Why don't you own it? Probably because whatever you own is less than a Shavapruta, and less than a Shavapruta is not ownership. It's a Raya to Rashi. Strangely, the Rosh Hashanah says, yeah, a Raya to Rashi from Dharma Kasha and Rashi from Shkalim, which really means you have a stira between the Mishnah Shkalim and the Nedarim, right? It's a direct stira. He doesn't like phrase it that way. He just says, yeah, one's a Raya to Rashi, one's a Kasha and Rashi. But it's really a stira between the two of them. There is a halacha that when you bring a karban, that day is like a mini yantif. On the day that you bring a karban, you don't do malacha. There's nisa malacha. Not a nisa malacha like Shabbos. Yantif is a malacha. Nisa malacha like Chalamoid. It's like a mini yantif for you. So Talmud Yerushalmi, I forget where, Talmud Yerushalmi asked the Kasha, every single day should be asur to work. Why? Because every single day, the Karban Talmud is brought twice. Karban Talmud belongs to everybody. So every single day should be asur to work. It's yours. So the Talmud Yerushalmi says, no, the Asafta de Ganecha Ksiv. Pasuk says, you have to work. How does that answer the question? Yeah, the Pasuk says you have to work. Pasuk also says on the day you bring a carbon, you can't work. So maybe Asafta de Ganecha is only Bizman Shein Bezman Shkaya, when we don't have a carbon. How does the Asafta de Ganecha answer the question? So, I heard B'Shem Rav Salvechik. I was listening on Matzoy Shabbos as I was preparing the shir. I was listening, like that background noise sometimes. So I was listening to Rabbi Adler from Teaneck. You know who Rabbi Adler is? Principal of the ABC. So he has Shiur Mansukah. Figured while I'm preparing, figured I'd listen to him. So he said over from the Rav, following Vart. Someone told me, yeah, those Shiur are great. He reads, like, he just reads his notes from the Rav Shiur. Like, he just says over all the Torahs from the Rav Shiur. The Asafta de Ganecha appears in the second parsha of Kriya Shema. The second parsha of Kriya Shema, the entire parsha is written b'lashon rabin. Lo'avda b'chol levavchem, b'chol nafshechem. It's not levavcha, nafshecha. Right? He shamru, pen yiftal levavchem, v'sartem, v'avadtem, elukim achirim, v'shtach v'isem. And then, right in the middle, v'yasafta d'ganecha. We're told that we're supposed to work. We're supposed to gather our grains. That's one pasuk. All of a sudden it switches to Lashon Yachid. Is that parsha addressed to Tzibur? Does it address to Yachid? So he said in the name of Salvejik, if I understood correctly, that sometimes when things are said to Lashon Yachid, it addresses an individual qua individual. And sometimes when it's written B'lashon Yachid, it addresses the tzibur as a unit. Meaning, when things are written B'lashon Rabin, Rabin means each and every one, every single member of the community is a Rabin. But sometimes the community does things not because we are the sum of its parts, right? That the tzibur is the sum of all its parts. But the community does something because as an entity, it is its own entity. And it's referred to as a yachid in that sense. So he says, clearly the second parasha of Kriya Shema is all about the community. And even when it says it b'lashon yachid, it's all about the community. It's about the tzibur. But the tzibur is an independent entity. It is not just a group of yechidim. The mashal Eli Cohen mentioned during Seder when I was shmuzing him about this is a corporation, legally in America. A corporation is not viewed as whoever happens to own stock in it are shutfim in the corporation. You don't have personal liability if you own stock in a corporation and the corporation was involved in unethical behavior and they or whatever, or they just have they owe a lot of money. You don't have personal liability because you own stock in that corporation. The corporation is viewed as a separate entity, a legal separate entity. Legally, it's a separate entity. I think I'm right about this. Legally, it's viewed as a separate entity. And the liability is with the corporation's holdings, not your own holdings. There are a lot of people that get rich this way by being unethical and whatever. But so that's a similar thing in halacha. The tzibur sometimes is viewed as the sum of its parts, and sometimes the tzibur is not viewed as the sum of its parts, but tzibur is an entity. We are a tzibur. So it says of salvation, what the Yerushalmi was asking is, every single person is bringing karban tamid every single day. So every single person is the bialim of the karban tamid, no one should ever go to work. Says the Yerushalmi in a very poetic kind of way, v'yasafta d'ganecha k'siv. It obviously chooses that pasuk because of the meaning that it has in terms of working, but it's not just saying stam, yeah, you have to go to work. That could be bizman shein beis hamikdash kayim. What it's saying is, it's the kind of ownership, the karban tamid is owned, kind of like the mitzvah of v'yasafta d'ganecha. Sometimes the tzibur is viewed as an independent entity, as an individual, not as a bunch of people who happen to own something together. So as individuals, do we own? Are we all partners? Are we all shutfim? Do we have ownership of a karban tamid? No. As a community, we own the karban tamid. As the entity called the community, we own the karban tamid. With that, you can answer the stira that Rashash points out. Rashash points that there is a Mishnah in Shkalim that says that we are the owners of the karban tamid. Aye, but each of us have less than a shavu pruta. We're not the owners of Karban Tamid, and that we're all shutfim in the Karban Tamid. The Tzibur, Klal Yisrael, is the owner of the Karban Tamid, and Klal Yisrael owns more than a Shavu Pruta. Klal Yisrael owns the entire Karban. It's not a shutfus, it's a separate entity. When the Gemara talks about we all own the well, that's a shutfus. And since each of us has less than a Shavu Pruta, none of us really owns the well. That's one way to look at it. If you want to read it like Rashi, or you could read it, no, that Klal Yisrael owns the well, and therefore it's not called I'm getting an offer from you. When I go and if I took a nether, I'm not allowed to get an offer from you. When I go and I use that well, I'm not getting an offer from you. It's not owned by you as an individual, it's owned by your corporation. It's owned by your Klal Yisrael, by the entity of Klal Yisrael. So two ways to look at the well case, which would both answer the stira. One way sticking with Rashi, the other way going against Rashi. A different kind of, you have such a din, Sanhedrin. You look at the first mission of Sanhedrin. What does Sanhedrin HaGadol do? Is it the main legislative body of Klal Yisrael? So look at the first mission of Sanhedrin. The mission tells you what you need a basin of 3-4, when you need a basin of 23, when you need a basin of Sanhedrin HaGadol, 70 or 71. Machlok Shabbat and Lecham, first mission there. So many of the things Sanhedrin does, to be Mosif al-Hi'ir v'al-Azaros, to add to Yerushalayim, what is that, Pesach Halacha? We're paskening that now we're extending Yerushalayim, where's that Halacha? Who gets to decide whether we are adding onto the Ir v'al-Azaros? Who gets to decide whether we go out for war? It's Pesach Halacha, whether you go out to war? You go to Sanhedrin HaGadol to pasken? Is that a Pesach Halacha? What are they doing? And Rav Salvechik had a whole yardside shir about this. If you look in Shirim Zech Rav Mari, he must be there. Sanhedrin is not acting as individuals who are paskening a halacha. They're acting as representatives of the entire tzibur. They express the das tzibur. It's the tzibur as an entity. Rav Shachter writes in Bikvei Atzon, now that we don't have a Sanhedrin, you have to figure out what the tzibur in general would hold about any given thing, like about land for peace or things like that. What does the tzibur really want? But it's the tzibur as an entity, as an individual unit, not as each person, you know, collection of its disparate parts. So I think that helps with this kasha of the Rosh Hashanah. Questions? Yeah.
Like a clarification in regards to, so to speak, you each person individually, and that's why it's...
Right. There's no din of a tzibur in sukkah. This din, you have to buy a sukkah. So when you buy a sukkah, it's not a din in a tzibur. There's no, right? There's no... Klal Yisrael has a mitzvah to bring karbonos had tzibur. So there's a din of a tzibur, only the karbonos. There's no din of sukkah had tzibur. Right, sukkah is your personal obligation. Many, many people may get together, and all of Klal Yisrael may in fact get together and want to buy a sukkah together, but it's still their own personal obligation. It's not a sukkah satzibur. Yeah. Anyway, okay, so those are the kashas and Rashi before we get to Tosfos. Now, Tosfos, it's a confusing Tosfos. Now, let's do the least confusing part of Tosfos first. The least confusing part of Tosfos is the last part of Tosfos, at the very end of Tosfos. Tosfos says, wait a second. If a sukkah of shutvin, well, it's hard to do the last part without the first part. Let's just take it as a given. Tosus holds, I'll tell you straight out, Tosus holds, at least at some point, whether he changes his mind or not, is certainly debatable. But at least at some point, Tosus holds that a sukkah of shutvin is possible. Sukkah of shutvin is not good for the mitzvah of sukkah. That means, not like Rashi said, that because everyone owns less than a shavu pruta, it's not really a sukkah of shutvin. No, let's say you have five guys chip in $200 each and they buy a sukkah. They each own way more than a shavu pruta. That too is possible, Tosfos holds. Rashi would say that's kosher. Rashi says the only problem with saying kol ha'ezrach was about a sukkah of shutvin is that no one owns a shavu pruta. But if everyone did own a shavu pruta, yeah, that's a sukkah of shutvin, that's totally fine. That would be totally kosher. Tosfos says sukkah of shutvin is possible. At some point in Tosfos, he says, sukkah of shutvin is possible. Now, Frank Tosfos, wait a second. If a sukkah of shutvin is possible, none of us have ever been yotzei in the mitzvah of sukkah in our lives. Because most of the time on sukkahs, we're not all alone for yantav. We're with our families, with our siblings, our parents, children, whatever. Shouldn't each individual member of the family have to build their own sukkah? I suppose you could do it in a way that you still could talk to each other like Hilani Amalka or something with the Chuliel Shabbat. But shouldn't we have to do that, Frank Tosfos? We have to build our own sukkah. You'll tell me the other women don't have to build their own sukkah because they're not chayiv in sukkah. That's not true. If your sukkah of shutvin are possible, even if they're not chayiv, they could still be a shutav. You're still joining with me. Okay, maybe not a married woman. Maybe you'd say Ishto Kigufo or something like that. Maybe. You have to really discuss and figure out what the parameters of Ishto Kigufo are to be able to say that. So that's Tosfos Kasha. So Tosfos says, at the end, Tem to blessed by Sukkah Shalchem, Ein Shnayim Yotzim Sukkah Echol Yolim, Yei Tzorech L'Kol Gnei Abai, Sukkah L'Kol Echol V'Echol. V'Shem Ahav Amar Bimi D'Chsiv Teishu V'Ken Taduru. Maybe Teishu V'Ken Taduru tells me that within reason, the Sukkah of Shutvin is Kasha. That even though a sukkah of shutvin be'etzem is possible, that's only so far as it's beyond teishu ken tzeduru. When you're still within the realm of teishu ken tzeduru, that this is the way you eat with your family, this is the way you live in the same house as your family, so as long as it's within the realm of teishu ken tzeduru, we allow for shutvin up until that point. That's my reading of Tosfos. You could have read Tosfos otherwise also, right? You could have read Tosfos to be saying, Teishu Ken Taduru tells me that scratch this whole din of Sukkah of Shutvin. Sukkah of Shutvin is not true. Teishu Ken Taduru tells me that where am I going to draw the line of Shutvin? I'm allowed to be a Shutvin with my children, my siblings, my parents, my grandparents. Are they okay? Second cousins? Where do you draw the line? All Klal Yisrael is one family.
So granted, I don't normally have all of Klal Yisrael over, but sometimes I have company over that's not related to me. How do you draw the line? Maybe it just means that Teshuvah and Duru tells you that there can't be a din of Sukkah Shutfin being possible. That a Sukkah Shutfin has to be kosher. So that's the end of Tosfos. Let's take a look at the beginning of Tosfos, though. Now, it's important to be clear over here on what point Tosfos really attacks Rashi. Right? So what did Rashi say that bothered Tosfos? So, again, we keep on repeating it, but it bears clarity, you know, for clarity's sake, it bears repeating. Rashi is explaining the sheet of the Chachamim. The Chachamim say, Kol Ezach Yisrael Yeshu Basukos means a Sukkah She'ula is Kasher. Frecht Rashi. How do you know it means a Sukkah She'ula is Kasher? Maybe it means a Sukkah Shal Shutfin is Kasher. So Rashi says, no, because it wouldn't even qualify as a Sukkah Shal Shutfin because everyone would own less than a Shavu Pruta. And therefore, it must be talking about a Sukkah She'ula. Tosfos says, what kind of answer? You don't need to give such an answer. I know that it can't be saying a Sukkah Shal Shutfin is Kasher, meaning the premise of your Kasha is wrong. You don't need your answer to answer your Kasha, because your Kasha is not a Kasha to begin with. What was Rashi's Kasha? How do I know that this Pasuk is telling me about a Sukkah She'ula? Maybe the Pasuk Kala Ezra is telling me about a Sukkah Shal Shutfin. Tosfos says, it can't be telling me a Sukkah Shal Shutfin is kosher, because we know that a Sukkah Shal Shutfin is possible. We have it on good authority already, that a Sukkah Shal Shutfin, by definition, is possible. So this Pasuk can't be marva Sukkah Shal Shutfin to be kosher. We have an explicit Pasuk, Sukkah Shal Shutfin is kosher. Really? Where do you have such an explicit Pasuk? So Tosfos says, it says L'cha, and L'cha throughout all the Shas, and Gan Shas means L'mutei Shutfin. It always means to exclude Shutfin. Just like you find in Maseches Chulin Kuf Lamed Vav, by Truma, Chala, Peya, we always exclude Shutfin. And even by Lachem of Esrog, also excludes Shutfin, even though it's written Lachem and not Lacha. It's written in the plural. Even that excludes Shutfin. Because the Gemara says that in order to be Yotzi with the Esrog, you have to have the legal authority to be able to take a bite out of it if you wanted to. If you're a shutaf with somebody else in the Esrog, you cannot take a bite out of it. So you see, clearly, even Esrog can't be Shal Shutfin. Aye, there are many places where it says something has to belong to you and we include Shutfin. Shutfin are included. Bigdeichem, Arisoseichem, Trumoseichem. Okay. Maybe Lashon Rabbim is different. Fine. But when it says L'cha, B'Lashon Yachid, this is clear, Tosa says. When it says L'cha B'Lashon Yachid, that automatically excludes Shutfin. Shutfin are off limits. And therefore, Kol Ezrach B'Yisrael Yeshu Basukos must be Marbe, something that's not already explicitly off limits. So it can only be Marbe She'ula. The only thing it can be Marbe She'ula. Shutfin was never even an option. It was never a possibility. Do you understand Tosfos that way? I think that's the, yeah? Good. So Tosfos says Shutfin is not, it's not even Shaykh. You can't even talk about Shutfin. L'cha excludes it. Now, Tosfos is assuming, presumably, that, again, let's go back to the exercise we had before. We have two psukim. We have a pasuk of L'cha that tells me to exclude a bunch of things. And we have a pasuk of Kol Ezrach, which tells me to include a bunch of things. And now we have all these possibilities. Shutfin, She'ula, Genuva, let's say. I don't know. You come up with all sorts of possibilities. Hefker, whatever you want. Which one should you say is kosher? Which of those possibilities should you say is kosher? And which one should you say are possible? So the one that's kosher, you would imagine, must be the one that's most yours. It's most yours. Which is more yours? Shutfin or She'ula? When I'm a shutaf in a sukkah, or when I borrow a sukkah? When I borrow a sukkah, I don't own it at all. I'm borrowing the entire thing from whoever owns it. When I'm a shutaf in a sukkah, I'm a partial owner, but it's only partial. So which is more yours? Now, what's Tosfos saying? Which is more yours? Tosfos says, look, if I got two psukim, Kala Ezrach and Lecha, I'm pashut going to tell you, Shutvin are for sure, that's not yours. That is off limits. Shu'ula might be yours. So Shu'ula, Kala Ezrach Yisrael, okay, we'll Kala Ezrach Yisrael will include Shu'ula. But Shutvin, no way. Shutvin is off limits. That's definitely possible. You could argue on that svara, though. That's what Tosfos seems to be saying. Again, if you read this Tshuvas HaRivash, which obviously there's no way we're going to have time to read the whole Tshuvas HaRivash, it's a major machlokes Rivash and Rashbash. Is that what it was? Rashbash? Yeah. Major machlokes Rivash and Rashbash. How to exactly understand Tosfos if Tosfos is in fact saying what I'm telling you he's saying. But Tosfos says that Shutvin, the way I read Tosfos, I should say, before I saw the Rivash, is that Shutvin is much worse than Shu'ula. Shutvin is less yours than Shu'ula is. Shu'ula is more yours. Now, when you're a Shutof in the Sukkah, and you use the Sukkah, how much of the Sukkah do you use? I chip in $200 with four of my neighbors, and we buy a $1,000 Sukkah. I use it from the hours of 1 to 2 in the afternoon. That's my lunchtime. How much of the sukkah am I using? 20% of the sukkah? I'm using the whole sukkah, right? If I'm using the whole sukkah, what am I? What's my relationship with the whole sukkah? I know 20% is mine. What's my relationship with the rest of the sukkah? No, if I'm using, what do you think? I'm borrowing it. The other 80% is owned by the other guys. I'm borrowing it from the other guys. If every time I'm a shutaf, I'm a partial owner, and whatever I don't own, I'm borrowing from the other guys, which is more yours? A sukkah that you partially own and borrow the rest of, or a sukkah that you borrow entirely and don't own any of? No, svara? Which is more yours? It's got to be the sukkah that you own part of, and whatever you don't own, you borrow. That's got to be more connected to you than a sukkah that you just borrow the entire thing and you don't own any of it. Says the Rivash, if that's the case, Tosfos has all these cases, Shutvin, Shu'ula, and the rest, but let's think Shutvin, Shu'ula now. There's a pasuk that minimizes and a pasuk that maximizes, right? A pasuk that excludes and a pasuk that includes. Which one should we include? Which one should we exclude? Which one is more yours? It's got to be the Shutvin Sukkah is more yours. Has to be. Because you own it, whatever you don't own, you're borrowing. So if that's more yours, then that should be what we include from Kol Ezrach. If you exclude anything, exclude Shu'ula. So what in the world is Tosfos doing? Tosfos getting it backwards over here. So that's the point that I think, if I recall correctly, that the Rivash makes. And he rereads Tosfos to account for that point. If you take a look at the Rashbash, this is shorter. With this we could do. In the paragraph starting, Vishamati ki harivash zal. So he writes, Vishamati ki harivash zal hu machshira mikal v'chomer. He says, I heard that the Rivash says that a sukkah shel shutvin has to be kosher from a kal v'chomer. Di'im shu'ula she'eno shalok she'ra. If the shu'ula which you own, what percentage of? Zero. If that's kosher, so a sukkah shel shutvin that you at least own a percentage of, that's got to be kosher. So that's what the Rivash says. And he reads Tosfos to say that, even though that doesn't sound like what Tosfos is saying. Like we said, it's a confusing Tosfos. You got to take a look at the Marsha, the Marshal, you get more confused. Even though, you know, it's not nice to start picking on the Rivash after he's dead. What can we do? The Torah is still here. We still got to learn it. And he says, this kal v'chomer that he makes is an illogical kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer, by definition, has to be logical. This kal v'chomer is an illogical kal v'chomer. Chutz mikvodo, with all due respect. D'sh'ula kula shalo kol yimei she'ilasa. He says he's misunderstanding how sh'ula works. When you borrow a sukkah, so long as you're borrowing it, it's entirely yours. Even the part that you own, you don't really own when you're a shutev. There's no part that's yours. Even the part that you own, someone else has a chelek in it. Plus, when someone lends you something, they don't mind that you're there. That's why they lent it to you. By shutvin sometimes could be makbid on each other. Hey, I don't want you there now. We're partners here. It's mine too. What I think the Rav Ash is saying is like this. Meaning, what happened to Arkasha? The Rav Ash had, I'm saying, what I think the Rashbash is saying is like this. The Rav Ash had a good point, no? That isn't every example of Shel Shutvin also inclusive of Sheula? That if I own 20% of it, doesn't that mean I'm borrowing the other 80%? That's a bomb kasha, no? That's a solid point. So I think what the Rashbash is saying is that, no, that's not the mechanism. That's not how Shutvin works. It's not that I own 20% of it and I'm borrowing the other 80% from you. Like I own from this wall to that, you know, these few feet, and the rest of the sukkah I don't own and I'm just borrowing from. That's not the mechanism of shutvus. The mechanism of shutvus is so long as we are still shutvim, each of us have a chelek in every molecule and every square inch of this entire sukkah. How do you divide that? How do you share every square inch? The only way to reasonably do it is by dividing the time. Saying, okay, we all own all of it together. The only way to divide it fairly is you get 2 hours, I'll get 2 hours, he'll get 2 hours. We'll just keep switching off the times that we get to use it. It's the only way to do it fairly. But there's never a moment where you're in control of the entire sukkah. It's just that's the only mechanism we have to divide it. But it's not your sukkah ever. Any spot in that sukkah is owned only 20% by you. As opposed to, so it's not that you're 20% owned, 80% borrowing. You're not borrowing anything. You're using your ownership in the only reasonable way that we could divide up the ownership. You're not borrowing the other 80%. But when it comes to sukkah she'ula, you are in fact borrowing the entire sukkah. You're borrowing the entire sukkah. And therefore it's much more yours. And the Rashbash says that's what Tosfos is saying. That a sukkah shel shutvin is possible because it's not yours at all. Sukkah she'ula is kosher. Because so long as you're there, it's yours. The guy gave it to you. The guy gave it to you to use. It becomes yours for that entire time. Where Tosfos runs into trouble is by the mitzvah of tzitzis. Tzitzis is similar in that there's a pasuk that tells us a ribuy, another pasuk that tells us a miut. So we have two pesukim, one to tell me that it has to be yours, and the other one tells me it doesn't have to be so much yours. And we have two situations, shutvin and she'ula. So Tosfos should say, shutvin means it's not mine, it's no good. She'ula would mean it is mine, it is good. By tzitzis, we reverse it. By tzitzis, the halacha is, a beged shel shutvin, yeah, that's good, that's yours, that's kosher. A borrowed beged, not chayven tzitzis. So that's where Tosfos runs into trouble. Now, because of that, we're not sure. Tosfos doesn't answer that question. He just says, according to Rashi, that works out really great. It's just a real problem for me. So what does that mean? Does that mean, therefore, I'm wrong, and I now am molded to Rashi? Or, you know, sorry, we've got to work on that, but, you know, I'm still totally right. So that's the discussion in the Achronim, whether Tosfos is ever chozer on this point. Okay, we'll stop here. If anyone wants to stick around for a time in Halacha, we'll do that too. Big effect.